Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is July 7th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. Our guest is Willie Brooks, a.k.a. Smooth, out of Detroit. And he used to belong to the 8 Mile LK Sconey Gang. And he's going to tell us a little bit about his life and growing up in Detroit in the gang and street life. Right now I'm going to introduce my co-host to you and welcome him to the show, Boyd.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. We thank all our viewers and our callers every week that join in. And like my wife said tonight, we got a great show tonight with one of my homeboys who I grew up with from kids, Willie Brooks, a.k.a. Smooth, off the west side. And he'll tell you about his story and how change came about in his life, you know. So, you know, we ain't going to let you wait no longer. We're going to get right to the topic. We're going to pass the mic over to my man, Smooth, and we're going to let him formally introduce himself, and we're going to get right to the point. Smooth, your move.
Okay. How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Willie Brooks. Used to be known as Young Smooth. You know, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I grew up on the streets. I had a good family life, you know, growing up. You know, I had two brothers, two sisters, you know, and I was doing good. You know, my mama and father, they raised me well. But at the same time, I chose to be out there in the streets for some apparent reason, you know, trying to, you know, follow after the big guys of the neighborhood. But now, you know, I have, you know, completely changed, you know. But I could tell you a little more about myself, you know, as the calls come in.
My man. So we're going to get right to the point, Smooth, and we're going to ask you, how did you get involved with the street life and what led you to get involved with the gangs in the hustling world, you know? We'll start with that topic.
Okay, we'll start with that topic. At first, you know, I started out going to elementary school, doing good. Then I got into middle school. As I was going into middle school, you know, a lot of, you know, guys, you know, that was older, I wanted to be, you know, like my cousin. I had cousins, you know, that, you know, they was into that lifestyle. But, you know, I was still going to school, but I chose to want to follow after them, and that's what made me kind of gear to that street life. I wanted, you know, I had all the best clothes because my mother and father provided me with that, but it was just I wanted more. And so I took to the streets, to the guys that's in the neighborhood. We all, you know, formed a little gang, and we just ran the streets, ripped and run, and, you know, did our thing. And as I got older, you know, I was continued to not progress. I was just regressing and, you know, being rebellious. And then I saw, you know, that it took a new change. You know, I went to the youth home, juvenile system. From the juvenile system, I went to the training school. And from when I got out of training school, it was a whole new program. It wasn't really the gang thing. It was the people out there selling drugs, and I chose to get into that lifestyle. And once I got into that lifestyle, I was more or less, you know, thought I was grown. And so I did everything I could out there in the streets. I no longer was at the house with my mother and father. I chose to be out there in the streets. Then as that went along, I ended up going to prison. And I did 12 and a half years in prison. And I come, you know, I messed up. While I was in prison, I was being rebellious. When I should have, I went to prison with a 4 and a half to 20 years. And I ended up doing 12 and a half because I didn't want to do the right thing. But as I got into my 10th year, I realized that it's a lot more to life than want to be a badass, you know. And I started changing my life around. I was released from prison. I met, you know, I had a beautiful young lady, my wife, which is my wife now. Her name is Candy Brooks, and I have two beautiful kids now. And that's what keeps me away from the streets. You know, I'm trying to, now one of the things about, also about that, the flip side about that is that, you know, even though I'm out here, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do now, yeah, I'm still having a hard time, you know, trying to find employment, you know, because a lot of people don't really want to hire, you know, those, you know, ex-felons. But you got to, you know, you got to keep your head up. You got to stay strong and keep moving forward. You can't let that discourage you at all. You got to do, you got to keep moving ahead. And eventually, some will give.
Right. And when you were younger in elementary school and junior high and high school, when you were getting into the gangs and street life, did you have any male role models that you looked up to, and were, you know, were they the reason that you were in the streets?
Yes, I had a cousin. I had one of my cousins. His name was Anthony. He's no longer with us now. He's deceased. But that's who I used to look up to. I always wanted to be like my cousin, because I see how, you know, the car, the fancy cars he had, the different women and things, and that's what I wanted to do. But, you know, I should have paid, you know, once I should have seen what the streets did to him. But what I did was, when once he passed, it just made me want to even be in the streets more. You know, not thinking, you know, just acting off impulse.
Right. So what could you tell the kids today who, you know, they're looking up to people like that, and, you know, the music video people that are portraying gangsters and women and that kind of thing is that it's good. What can you tell the kids today to let them know that's not the right path that they should be taking?
What I can tell the kids today is what I wish I could have did back then. Now, you know, if I could go all the way back to when I was a youth, you know, I wouldn't have been, you know, it's a lot more, you know, it's a lot more into staying into school, getting an education, as far as these videos and everything that you see these guys out here driving these fancy cars. You know, all that shit is a show. It's just an act. You know, it's like being in the movies. Everybody's trying to put on a play. But the real play is the person that's trying to stay in school and do the right thing and get educated and be able to grow up and have a family and be responsible. Because the streets, you know, out there in the streets, you can't be responsible out there in the streets. That's why the majority of us ended up in prison. Because not having any responsibility. Once you have responsibility, then you can become a man. You know, you're not a man just because you can pick up a gun or you got a pocket full of money in your pocket. That's not the way to go. You know, the way to go is to get your life together and stay in school. This is for all the youths, is to stay in school. Don't let the people in the neighborhood with the fancy cars, the money in their pockets deter you from what you're trying to do.
Right. So here what Smoot is saying, kids, is stay in school and get your education, because that's the only thing that's going to get you ahead in life. Living out in the streets and the gang banging and hustling is not going to get you anywhere.
And also...
Go ahead.
Okay, and also, the ones that are the gangbangers and all the guys that's out there selling drugs on the streets that we all looked up to or we all thought was our friends is really not our friends. And see, that took me a long time to realize that as well. You know, the only friend you have is yourself. You know, because that's the only friend you got is yourself. You know, you cannot take, you know, and God. God is the most person you're supposed to put in front of all. You know, if you don't have God in your life, you really don't have nothing.
Right. And I think young kids, you know, at that age think that they're, you know, that they can do anything and that they don't need God and that they're just, you know, indispensable, I guess, and you know, they just go out and do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, I disagree. I say this for the utmost, what I see now with the youth now is that they don't have respect for themselves. You know, and
right.
When you don't have respect for yourself, you don't have respect for life or anything of that nature, and that's where we have to start getting on to youth. See, it's all, you know, we got to be able, if we can reach one, we can teach one. That's always been my motto. If I can reach one, I can teach one. And that one that I can reach and teach may be able to reach somebody else in his crowd that he can teach.
Right. Exactly. And just pass it on. Can you tell me how you first met Rob Boyd?
Okay, I met Rob, which he's a very good friend of mine. You know, I love him to death, you know. And I met Rob. I ended up going to the youth home, juvenile. You know, me and Rob, you know, had, you know, become real close in the juvenile. And as I got out of juvenile, we continued to keep in touch with each other. Then we ended up going to school, because we got kicked out of all the Detroit public schools, so we ended up going to what they all call the alternative school. And from that point on, we just have been buddies up until this point right now, and that's been over 28 years ago. He's always been
right.
A good friend of mine.
Okay. What can you tell me, what do you remember about Rob after you guys got out of the detention? And what kind of people did he hang around, and what do you remember about him on the streets?
Well, Rob, the thing about me and Rob, me and Rob mostly kind of, when we got out of, like I say, detention, we more or less ran together, you know. We really didn't have a lot of outside friends. You know, we may have had a couple partners, but we didn't really, it wasn't like we, you know, or you more or less could say antisocial type crowd. We wasn't into all that whole bunch of individuals. And so I would go over to his place, his neighborhood. He would come to mine. You know, we sit around and kick it, things like that. We never was basically with no crowd. And so I couldn't tell you about the individuals that Rob may have been involved with as far as when he wasn't around me, because Rob was always the type of individual that was like a loner, you know, just as well as me as we got older.
Right. So how old were you when you actually went into to serve your 12 years?
I went in prison at 26.
Okay.
I went in prison at 26.
What were you charged with?
Selling drugs, delivery, manufacture and delivery.
Okay. And they gave you 20 years, you said, but you did 12?
They gave me 4.5 to 20, and I ended up doing 12 and a half years.
What can you tell our listeners, our young kids who think that you know, going to prison is a pat on the back and a step up? It makes you, you know, it makes you, I guess some of them think going to prison makes you a man, or it helps you, you know, achieve something higher in life, and they almost kind of, you know, expect to go and want to go. What can you tell the kids out there about how it really is in prison?
What I can tell the kids about how it is in prison is not how they think it is. You know, it's not like what you see on TV. Prison is real life, you know, and prison is more or less, you know, when you got individual, you know, you got the people in there. If you're the type of individual that wants people to tell you what to do, if you like somebody to tell you when you can eat or somebody to tell you when you got to go to sleep, you know, those individuals like that don't have no remorse, no life for themselves. The only thing they is institutionalized. But for the youth out here today that's never been to prison, for me to tell them is that's not the way to go, because prison, you know, you don't need to be somewhere, you know, where you got a number, you labeled for the rest of your life. You know, you just can't go that route. And I wish I could turn the hands of time back, like I said. You know, if I was 12, 13 years old right now, what I know right now today, I would never have went to juvenile or prison.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough life, and you started going to juvenile when you're young, and I think once you kind of, you know, get into that kind of lifestyle, it's nothing to come in and out, and you know, you find yourself doing the wrong things over and over, if you only knew then what you know now, you wouldn't have done all that.
Right, and that's what's wrong with a lot of youth today. In which I, you know, hoping that the listeners is listening to know to be deterred, to make sure that they don't go that route, is what a lot of our youth now, they have seen a lot of us older guys going to prison. They see us come out. They see a lot of us trying to do the right thing, but that's not what they used to seeing us doing. So then they have the other ones that came up under us that's going to in and out of prison, that's coming out telling them, I just went in, I did 5 years. Oh, man, it's nothing. No, it is something. That's 5 years out of your life that you can't get back.
5 years that your mother's been crying for you, or your child's been crying for you, or your brother or sister. Everybody touches somebody's life, whether it's good or bad.
That's right. Anytime we away from our family, either it's in juvenile prison or wherever, that makes our family prisoners as well.
Exactly.
And a lot of people don't look at it in that view. But I had to look at it in that view. I made my people become prisoners because I'm a prisoner. I'm not there with them to help them.
Right. Smooth, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back, and then we're going to turn the mic over to Rob, and he'll ask you some more questions. So just hang on tight with us, and we'll be right back.
Okay, thank you very much.
I wake up every day with pain throughout my whole body. I have tracks all over me that I don't know if they'll ever go away. I just don't think that my health will ever be what it was. My name is Haley. I'm 18 years old. I'm from Clifton, Arizona, and I started doing meth when I was 15. Meth is made from, like, things under the kitchen sink, so I'm sure that that has affected my entire body so bad. And I don't remember a lot of things. I can't remember things. I'll walk into a room and not remember why I went there, and I know that's from the drugs because it was never like that before. I just know that I wasn't what I was before I did meth. I know that. It will take your life. It will take everything from you. It controls every part of your life. You lose yourself to meth. Meth will take you.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Hey, hey, and welcome right back here to Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And like we promised you, we're kicking it live with one of my homeboys out of Detroit, Willie Brooks, a.k.a. Smooth. And I just want to say, Smooth, that, you know, I'm proud of you, man, that you come out, you did, got married, and got your two beautiful kids, and you're trying to make it happen, you know? And that's
right.
A blessing in itself, man, you dig? But I would like for you to tell the audience, man, about some of the bad decisions you made when you was younger that led you into, you know, certain situations. And did you ever think at the time that you would ever go to the real life prison system?
Okay, what I can tell the youth, as far as the bad decisions that I've made, first of all, the bad decisions that I made was not really listening to my mama and my daddy telling me the right things in life. You know, I wanted to do things the way I wanted to do it. So I always knew what was right from wrong, but my decisions that I chose was off of impulse. I did a lot of things off impulse, not thinking, and not thinking about what the consequences would be, you know, and that's what sent me to juvenile. And, you know, I never would have thought that I would have ended up in prison, but then again, you know, the route I was going, you know, it was destined.
Right, right. And when the situation broke down and reality hit, when the judge said 4.5 to 20, you know what I mean, how did that make you feel that this wasn't no juvenile thing no more? This is the real deal now, you know, where I can sit almost 20 years away from my family, you know? How did that realization hit your mind?
Well, that realization hit my mind when I was in the jail cell. Before the judge even said anything, is when the police told me that, you know, that your mother cannot come get you no more, and she normally did. You know, you in the big lead now. You're an adult. I was 17 years old at that time, and it hit me then. And then when I went there and the judge told me that I'm going to do 4.5 to 20, it didn't sink in then when he said it, but when I got there at the prison system and seen that I was behind those gates, that's when it kicked in.
And that right there, I know you had to say to yourself, wow, what have I done?
Right, that's exactly, you're right. What I done got myself into, yeah. You know, I can't go to the gate and open that gate and leave out. And that's when it really hits you, and that's when you know that you really is in prison. You really locked up.
And you know from that point that Mama Brooks and Papa Brooks was not able to come say we finna put up the bail for him this go round. This go round, he finna sit down, he finna relax his nerve. And now he really on the yard for real in this cage now.
That's right. You're right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I was in a 6x9, and there wasn't nothing nice. And, you know, and I had to listen to what the people had to tell me. I couldn't do what I want to do. It's like being out here in these streets. And since I've been home, it's been beautiful. You know, I could go out my front door and smell that fresh air, and I could keep on walking once I go out that door. I can go take a bath whenever I decide to take a bath. I can go and cook my own food when I decide to cook. You know, I can go to the store when I decide to go to the store. I don't have no boundaries. I do. I still, let me take that back. It's still boundaries out here because it's still rules that we got to go by out here in these streets. You know, it's law. You know,
that you weren't listening to at one point.
Right. Those rules that I wasn't listening to as far as carrying a gun, as far as selling drugs, all that, I wasn't thinking about none of that. There was no rules to me then. But those are rules to me now because my eyes is open now. I know I can't carry no gun. I know I can't sell no drugs. I don't want to pick up no gun. I don't want to pick up no drugs. All I want to do is see my kids grow up, you know, and be and not be the way I was.
Right, because I want to, go ahead, Smoke.
Yeah, because I want my kids to be better than I was. You know, I want them to have better than what I had.
Right, and knowing the life we came from, you know, putting children around drug selling and seeing guns and seeing domestic violence and different things like that, you know, it's so easy for them to adapt to that. And next thing you know, they in the hood talking about they're a gangster. You know, is that true?
Right. Ain't no doubt. You know, and like right now, you know, I'm a this is for the youth as well, you know. Like right now, you know, I have a little thing with my son. You know, my son, you know, he likes to play the video games, you know, and I don't like, you know, I really don't like him to play certain video games, but, you know, certain things you got to be on it. You know, you got to catch it before it get there. And I didn't catch it when I should have caught it, you know, and see, I had to stay on it because, see, he likes to see those guns and, you know, go pow, pow, pow and all that. And I had to smack his hands all the time and tell him, don't be doing that because I don't want him to get to the age like when I was and try to pick up a real gun.
Right.
You know, and then also watch the TV.
How old is the man?
He's 3 years old, and so right now, you know, I know he's my little shorty. He gonna grow out of it, you know what I'm saying? Kids go through those little stages, but I don't want him to be doing that until he gets when he get 8 or 9. Because if he keeps doing it, if he keeps doing it at 8, when he gets 8 or 9, he gonna probably continue to do it on and on in. So I gotta stop
then
he's gonna
pick the real thing up.
Right, that's why I gotta nip him in the bud. See, you know, and that's part of life, and that's my responsibility. See, that's part of being an adult and having kids. You got to have them. Those are responsibilities.
Right, and another thing, you know, I want to bring out while we're on the air too. I want to let the youth and everybody know. You know, it was a point in time where Willie Brooks, a.k.a. Smooth, and his brother Myron, whenever they got in trouble, I don't care what they did, their mother and father was always there to come bail them out, you know? But it was just a point in time in life where the bail couldn't even be even bought no more, you know what I mean? Because the judge done hit the hammer and said game over for a while, you know? So I wanted to get into a little something about Marvin, and I want to give a shout out to Marvin Brooks, you know, one of my other homeboys. That's Willie's brother. Big shout out to him up there in Detroit. But I wanted you to let people know, how did your brother Marvin get caught up in the game? You know, I remember when Marvin was in the youth home, when I met both of y'all back in the 70s, you know? But when Marvin got out the first time, how did he get caught up? And then that really, really affected your mom and dad. You know, I wanted to touch up on that.
Well, see, like my brother Myron, you know, me and Myron, you know, us being brothers, we both had different ideas in life. You know, we both was wild, but he did his thing and I did my thing. You know, I chose to sell drugs. He chose not to sell drugs. He chose to take what he wanted. And so in that process, you know, as he grew older, you know, it just became, you know, out of control or whatever the case may be. But he came out, you got with the wrong crowd. And at the same time, getting in with the wrong crowd, you know, he got caught up, you know, right now today, you know, he just was with the wrong crowd. And my mother and father, you know, you understand, it kind of hurt them. But, you know, my little brother, he's doing life in prison right now. And, they try desperately to get him out. because he's an innocent person at this time. But the stuff that he done but the things that he had done prior, you understand, makes him look bad. You know, it made his record look bad, you know, in front of the judge. So when he got life in prison, you know, they still, you know, everything that you, they looking at everything that you did or you possibly didn't do, well, you didn't get caught for, we got you now. And,
right.
You know, my mother and father, you know, right now, they going through a lot, you know, they done got gray hair. You know, from study, you know, thinking about, you know, they son. They glad I'm out, but you know, I'm the oldest son. So, but they, you know, they real hurt every day. You know, I can see it in their eyes. You know, by my little brother. You know, because, you know, right now is he in a situation where he never gonna be able to come home again, and it hurts
and
me. You know,
right?
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts me a lot.
Right, and I want you to let the youth know too, Smooth, that the first real bit that Myron did, you know, before you had even got locked down. How much time did Myron do that first bit before he came home?
He did 7.5 years of armed robbery before I even went to prison, and then he came home and, like I said, got with the wrong crowd. You know, and now, you know, he's doing, you know, natural life. You know, but that's, you know, my little brother, you know, I love him dearly, you know, but he made the wrong choices. You know.
Right, and we just, you know, I brought that point up, Smooth, to say this to you, man. You know, I wanted you to bring that out to these youths out here because, once again, when you go before the judge, and the judge tell you life, and the judge tell you 20 to 40, you know, you going to prison. Ain't no misunderstanding on that.
Ain't no doubt. It's just like Monopoly.
Right, but the whole
fact
that came is, just here I want the kids to know. You going, but it's all the time, ain't no guarantee that you come out of prison alive.
That's
true.
That's true. That's true. I'm going to give you a prime example of how true that is. I got a friend of mine right now today. He went in there with a 1.5 to 5 years. Now he's in there doing life right now because for the simple reason is why he was in there. His mother had passed. He was, you know, I guess he was in a situation, I don't know what may have happened on the streets with the guys that he may have been into, but when his mother passed, I guess, you know, one of the guys, somebody was, making fun of him about his mother, and he snapped, and he ended up killing the guy, but now from doing that 1.5, going in there with 1.5 years to do, now he got to do the rest of his life because he also made a bad decision. He made a bad decision while he was on the street. Then he made another bad decision while he was in prison. Because when his mother passed, what anybody say to you, you supposed to, you know, take that in and keep moving ahead and try to make it out here back into freedom.
Right. That's so true, man. You know, because I done seen a lot of cats when I was down, you know, catch them in-house cases, you know. And
people
fail to realize you can go in with 6 months. You know, and you as a guy too, a prime example. You know, you went in on a 4.5 to 20. You could have made it out in a four piece. You know what
I
mean?
I could have made it out right.
And did a 12.5. So you're another prime example that you have to pay attention to your surroundings. You have to look, I made this mistake. The correctional facility didn't put me here because I was just such an innocent guy. You know what I mean? I'm here because I done did something wrong, and I must face this music, and I must go ahead and do my time. But once again, you know, you rebel like other cats do as well, and you end up doing more time than what the judge give you. You know,
and the reason why with me, and just like a lot of the other individuals, like as you say, we always think that we just there. They is the reason why we in there. But, you know, they not, you know, ain't nobody the reason why we went to prison but ourselves. But we try to blame it on others. And that's our way of trying to cope with it, our situation that we in. But that don't make it, you know, that makes it worse.
Amen. You know, and I want to give another shout out to Miss Brooks, Mr. Brooks, you know, Willie mother and father, you know what I mean, to his wife and kids. And we're going to go to another commercial, and we're going to go to a song. And we're going to be right back with my main man, Willie Brooks, a.k.a. Smooth. Right back in a few minutes, Smooth.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, this the Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always, even when no one else cares. He's there for you.
Oh,
keep your head up.
Oh, hey, the streets don't love you back. Out here grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I don't get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
Rob Boy checking in, letting you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned by my father in this world, when I was abandoned by the man that I thought loved me, it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he done for me, 'cause I listened to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back. The streets don't love you back. I ain't crying in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
I know it's gonna change the way your young mind thinks, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed, and drink. And I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if he get me out the streets. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head, another fork in the road. Everyone got affidavits, show they codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now it's no more private showers. It's all in the open. Better learn to be a man, fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pods, dorms, and day rooms to mess halls and rec yards. You think you something special, everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raised by the streets with no dad. But going life or death impression ain't gonna never change the past. Cause yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop Crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Project, my man Chickaria, Warner County Project, 430 Crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
Hello.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we right back from that hot track right there. That's me and my boy LD on that track. And that's just a track that we produce, you know, letting these youth know once again that the streets will never love them back, you know. So we right back with my man Willie Brooks, a.k.a. Smooth, tonight, and we're kicking it live, you know. So we want to get right back to you, Smooth, and we want to just ask you, can you give the youths a couple of events where in your lifetime where you really thought life was over for you? Because being in them streets, we all know that we come across the road sometime while life can end. So can you give the youths a couple of examples?
Yes, I can give them two examples. You're right. One example is in 82. May 8th, I'll never forget it. You know, I got into it with some individuals, you know, and we had a shootout. And I ended up getting shot, and the guy in the car with me got shot, and a couple of the other guys that was in the other car, they got shot. But when I got to the hospital, you know, when I look up, the next thing I know, I'm just drinking on some dry ice or whatever it was, crushed ice, but I thought I was gone. I thought I wasn't going to be here no more when I got shot. You know, it felt like hot lead. Something hot, something burnt me. And that was the first situation. Then the second time, I got shot by the police, and I thought I wasn't going to make it then. But, you know, God was with me both times, and I'm right here today. I'm 47 years old, turned 47 years old last month, you know, and it's a blessing.
My man. And with that said, Smooth, you know, can you let these youths and these other people know out here across America, you know, that life is just a total dead end. Do you agree with me?
Yes, I agree with you. It's a dead end street. It's nothing out here. It's nothing in the street. It's nothing out here in these streets but trouble. You know, everywhere you go, you know, I don't care what state, what city you in, it's always something going on. You know, it's just a dead end. Everybody thinks it's happy out here and so glorious, but it's not. You know, it don't lead to nothing but prison, dead, you know, that's all.
My man.
And I hope the youth out here is listening to what I'm saying, because like I said, you don't end up but nothing but in jail or dead if you continue to think that these streets is where it's at.
My man. And we all know that the streets don't love you back, you know. And I'm going to turn the mic over to the missus and let us ask you a couple more questions, Smooth, and I really appreciate you being on the air tonight with us, you know, spreading that message.
Okay, I thank you very much for you having me on your show.
Smooth, could you maybe tell us what got you through those rough times and maybe what helped you get through, you know, those times that you were shot and hurt and the time that you were in prison and, you know, what got you through all that?
What got me through that is God and my family being there, you know, on my side, and something that my grandmother instilled in my head one day that she came to see me, because, like I said, I was very rebellious, but my grandmama put one thing in my head. She said, told me, son, if you want to make it back out here in life, you know, you're going to have to do what you got to do. You got to be able to listen to what these people tell you, even if you don't like what they say to you. Do what you got to do to get out of here, back out here in these streets, and out here with your family. And that's what pulled me through, God and my family.
Right.
And also knowing that I had a woman out here that I was really was hurrying up to try to hope and get back out here. You know, my wife that I'm here to right now today, she stayed on my mind for all those years, And so I was definitely glad when I got out and caught back up with her. And we've been together ever since then. I came home 2002, and we've been together since then and got married and got two beautiful kids.
All right. Congratulations. I'm glad you hooked up with her again. And, you know, that's helped your life to be even all the more positive, to have somebody
right,
positive in your life with you.
Right. That's keeping me strong right now today is her and my kids.
All right. Now, what, when back, you know, when all that stuff was going on, did your, obviously you said you were, you know, you didn't want to listen to your parents, maybe disrespectful or stubborn or, you know, what, did your parents, obviously, they try to get you to do the right thing?
Yes, they stay. Well, they stay though. Right now, my parents stay on me right now today. Still up until this very day, they still, you know, right there, you know, making sure I stay on point, stay on the right track. They ain't going nowhere. They just is like they a thorn right there. They gonna stay there, you know, because they love me.
Right, and you have sisters.
Yeah, I have two sisters and two sister-in-laws.
Okay.
And sometimes they can be a pain too, but you know they stay on me
hey,
too.
That's family though. That's family.
Right,
they're always gonna be there whether they're a pain sometimes or not.
Right,
we
right,
love them the same.
Right, that's right. I still love them the same. You know, sometimes they get on my nerves, but I still love them.
Well, you know, tell the kids out here, you know, that how important family is and that the people out in the streets telling you to kill somebody and steal and shoot, and they're not your friends, they don't have your back, they're not your homeboy, but the ones that are going to be there for you and with you through anything is your family and then, and of course, God.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's very true, you know, that you hit it on that point, you know, because, of, you know, as we was coming up, you know, we always thought the streets was our family. But, you know,
right,
the streets is not our family. You know, the streets, you know, that's like I say, you know, everybody, you know, was out here, you know, pretending, you know, it's like a play, you know, an act, you know, just to, you know,
right,
everybody trying to get by, you know, and use each other, you know, to get by. But your family is the ones that's going to always stick in your corner no matter what. I don't care if you do right or wrong. They still going to be there in your corner, and that's what
right,
makes every, you know, that's what makes you strong out here. And if you got a good family background, if you know a good strong, nice family structure, you know you won't deter and go that wrong way. If you listen, you got to listen.
Right.
That's one thing, you know, I had to keep into the youth. You got to be able to listen. If you don't listen, you're not gonna get nowhere in life, you know, because you got to crawl before you walk.
Right.
And,
well, what about Smooth? What about the kids out here that don't have parents like we did, but their parents are involved in the streets as well, and that's all they know?
Okay. I'm gonna give you speaking on that note. A lot of the kids that's out here right now that don't have parents, that I have seen, you know, if you have some that go astray, and you have, I say 80% don't go astray, because those ones there that don't have a mother or father, that never hear nothing in life, those are the ones that stay in school and make something out of themselves. I have plenty of friends. That's right now today that when I was coming up, that me being out there in the streets, I stayed away from them, you know, even though we was friends, but the lifestyle that I chose was not in the same thing that they was in too. They was on going to school and being somebody, so I didn't bring my street life into their surroundings and their circumference. And
right,
they, you know, and like I say, a lot of them has made it. A lot of them, you know, right now today got jobs as engineers, you know, supervisors, different things, you
right,
know, right now today. Some is doctors, some is lawyers. You know, matter of fact, then Rob, you know, if Rob can remember, like Judge Mathis, that's got his show right now, was in Juvenile with us. And you look at him right now today, he's a judge on TV, got his own show.
Right.
Hey, Smooth.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was going to eventually tell my wife that. You feel me?
Right,
was on the same floor I was on. He was
right,
in the youth
right.
for me.
Right,
yeah.
right. Yes,
Smooth,
he was Smooth in there
was
right
on,
in there with him.
And I was on 4N. Yeah, so, you know, I never even told her that, but that's good that you brought that out, you know. And
right,
yeah, he's
right,
a prime
right.
example because he lived
right.
a gang life and was trying to do a little hustling until his mama knocked him upside the head that time.
That's
you
right,
know?
That's right, that's right. And you see where he at right now today.
All right, so, you know, when people use, you know, when people use all these different excuses that, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, and ain't none of them ever been to no real jail or no real lockup, you know what I mean? But they have so many excuses out here. I turn my head from people like that because now you got to learn that life can be something or you can make life nothing, you know, because they don't get the picture out here nowadays. You know, everybody wants their hand out and everybody think everybody owe them something. And
right.
that's
right.
what happens to this day with these kids nowadays. And that point I want to get to, you know, how do you feel about kids nowadays, Smooth, that feel their parents owe them something and they always feel they got to ask their parents for something? How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, it's hard to really speak on that right there because I really, you know, I really went through that same situation as well coming up. You know, I always thought, you know, that my people owed me something. You know, I guess I thought they owed me something for my fuck up, you know, which they really didn't. You know, I chose the route that I took, you know, so really they don't no parent really owe their kids nothing. Once they took care of you and raised you, and when you turn 18 years old, you were supposed to be able to go out on your own and be a responsible and productive citizen out here in society. So, no, they do not owe us anything. If anything, we owe them.
My man. You know, and so many kids nowadays don't get that, Smooth, you know.
No, they don't.
They don't. When you get a certain age in life, you're supposed to be giving your parents, you feel me?
If it ain't
nothing but something small to show them the appreciation, you know what I mean, for
if
being
it ain't
that place.
Call.
Place.
If it ain't, right.
My
if
man.
It ain't nothing to call, if it ain't nothing to call every day and say, oh, Mom, Dad, I love you. It's something.
Right.
You give it something back.
Right.
You give it something back.
Right, and we hope a lot of kids get that out here nowadays, that your parents don't owe you nothing. They owe you one thing when they bring you into this world is to teach you everything you need to be taught, and when you get 18 years old, you need to be out on your own, doing your own thing, and handling your own business, and not always thinking the world owe you anything. You only owe yourself what you give yourself, you know?
That's right. Because you're only going to get out of life what you put in anyway.
My man, you know. Now here go the missus.
Okay.
Can you tell us a couple more stories, maybe, of things that happened in your life and how you were able to get through it and maybe help some of the kids out here today?
Okay, like for instance, another thing that happened in my life, you know, is. I had, you know, I was going, you know, like me and my wife, you know, just at one point of time, you know, we was going through a little thing, you know, a little issue, you know, where we was getting into it with each other, you know, and I just had to stay strong, and she had to be strong as well, you know. We got, you know, we were still, you know, off into that street scene, you know, trying to stay in the street scene. You know, and that could have, you know, that almost cost us our marriage, you know, but I was strong, you know, we were both strong for each other, you know, and our kids helped us even more stronger.
Right.
You know, that's
kind of, is it easy, do you think, for a lot of people to revert back to that street mentality way of thinking sometimes when they get angry?
Well, yes, it's easy because, for one, the street mentality is still always going to be in a person that was out in the street. That's going to always be with them. It's just that you got to know how to control that. You got to control that part, you know, where that don't come out. That's, you know, that is the main key, you know, because once you was on, once you
different.
You got to learn different things. You got to learn. Your thinking got to change. That's
right.
The main thing. Your thinking has to change. If your thinking don't change, you know, then you're going to always revert back to that same old street mentality. But if you think, right. It's always about thinking, how you think. That's
right. You have to learn new ways to cope with stress and new ways of handling situations.
Right, like, you know, say for instance, if you was a person that always, you know, get into it and always want to fight, you know, you got to figure out, you got to think a different strategy. Well, okay, as soon as I think I'm about to argue, get up and walk and take you a walk. You know, that'll help, you know, that help ease a lot of things, because if you're a person that wants to just sit there and argue, that brings about problems.
Right.
Because it takes two to argue. You know,
right.
it takes two to fight. Right. It takes two to fight. So, you know, if you want to stay there and fight, then, you know, now you got a problem. But if you know how to walk away, then that person left there fighting themselves.
That's right.
That's basically what I want the youth to know, you know. Everything that we do, you know, whatever problems that we bring on ourselves, we bring them on ourselves. Don't nobody cause us, you know. We quick to say, well, that person made me do it. No, that person ain't made you do anything. You make yourself do
Amen.
It.
Amen.
You know?
And before we get off the air tonight, Smooth, I just want to, you know, say, man, you know, from when we met each other back in the 70s, you know what I mean, until now, you know what I mean, how do you see my life change from when you knew Lil Rob to?
I see you made a very tremendous change from back then, you know, and that's a beautiful thing, a very beautiful thing, you know. I see you married now, you know, and I never would have thought it ever happened. But, you know, as we get older, you know, everything on life, you know, we change. You know, we take on different responsibilities, you know, become responsible individuals, you know, and having a wife, that is a big responsibility as well as a person having kids, you know, because that's a package, you know, that's a package deal.
Right.
You know, and one represents the other.
Oh, ain't no doubt. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm blessed to have her. You did, because
that's right.
The whole status. You feel me?
That's right.
The black movement. You know that we've created together, and the book that's out, The Streets Don't Love You Back book. You know, and we got the soundtrack coming out real soon as well. And you know, it's a blessing to. Have a great teammate on your team, you know, somebody.
Right.
No matter where you at, you don't have to second guess that nothing getting did because
that's
you know
right.
what you're, you know. So that's another
right.
thing that I'd had problems with coming up through my lifetime. But I don't have that problem. You know, I can be way in Nicaragua somewhere. You feel me?
That's right.
That's the business getting taken care of. You
that's
know?
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it feels beautiful. It feels very beautiful.
It's a lovely
you know?
Thing, man. So,
right.
so hey, man, we appreciate you on the show tonight, Smooth. And like I said, once again, we're going to give another big shout-out to your wife and your kids and to your mother and your father and to Myron, you know, and to all the homeboys you dig up in Detroit that are not able to be here with us and to the ones that's on lockdown. We
right,
send much love out to you as well.
And to my stepkids, my stepson, Deontay Brooks, and my stepdaughter, Deanna Brooks. You can get them a shout-out as well.
Got to give them a shout-out, man. So, hey, man, with that said and done, man, the missus got a few announcements to make. And then we're going to, say what we always say, the streets don't love you back, you know?
That's right.
And,
that's right.
The wife got a few announcements to make, and then we're going to close out the show tonight. And once again, appreciate you being on the show, Smoke.
All right, thank you very much. And I love to be on your show.
My man.
Thank you.
Okay.
I would just like to remind you to log on to our website at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And you can listen to any of our past radio shows. And you can also join our movement there as a member, and you'll be able to get all of our videos and messages and blogs and always keep up with us and find out what we're doing. Our radio show is every Wednesday night at 11:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Pacific Time. And you can log on to that at our radio show, or you can also log on to it at www.blogtalkradio.com/thestreetsdontloveyouback. And, you know, we'd like you to also log on and order the book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, story of Rob's life growing up in the ghettos and the, you know, streets of Detroit and what they went through back then and then how he was able to change his life. But it also has a lot of stories of other people that he grew up with and, you know, how they lived the street lives and what happened to them as well. And so, you know, the book is an awesome book, and we just ask you to get on there and order your copy today. And we now just like to have Rob give any last words that he has.
Oh, yeah. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say we thank everybody for joining us tonight with our guest, Smooth, and it was a pleasure. Once again, like I say, having him on the show tonight, and I just want to let everybody know I'm still real thrilled about being inducted into the Charles H. Wright Afro-American History Museum with my book, The Streets Don't Love You Back. So all my Detroiters, you know, the book is right down there on East Warren in the Charles H. Wright Afro-American Museum in the rare book section. And it was an honor and a blessing for me to be in there. And my message will be talked about way after I'm gone. So coming up from where I came from, I never dreamed of being in nobody's museum or nobody's library. So God is good. And I'm definitely devoted to what I do, me and my wife, with the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. You know, I've seen a lot of my homeboys get killed. I've seen a lot of my homeboys doing natural life bits and some strung out on drugs. But the bottom line is we still homies, and I could never forget where I come from. Every time I come to Detroit, I always go down in the hood where I come from. So we want to thank everybody once again for tuning in tonight. And we're going to go out with a song like we always do. And always remember, the streets don't love you back.
Yeah, we also just want to let you know our guest next week will be Mr. Zachary Brower. And he grew up in the ghettos of Philly and in Delaware. And from the time he was 8 years old, he watched his mom use drugs. So he's going to tell us his struggle as, you know, even at one point in his life wanting to commit suicide to get away from it all. So join us next week with Mr. Zachary Brower as we hear his story. And we wish you all a great week, and we will tune in next week.
Yeah, yeah, just the streets don't love you back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who